I've nerded out on. I hate it that it took me years to be able to do it. Matter of fact, it has caused even some trouble in my family. I married an absolutely beautiful woman and smart lady. But I could have been softer in some of my responses to her. When I would go to mow grass, she would want to plant things. And all I saw was something else to be weed eated around. Run it over. She'd want to do something pretty at the house. You really got to spend the money for that? And then 3 years ago, somebody bought me some of these. And I couldn't see it until about 3 years ago. It took me 30 years to see how deep blue my wife's eyes are. They are so beautiful. My children, they look different. Trees, when they start to bloom out. And there are trees in the fall that look like they're on fire. So I went to my wife and I told her, I'm sorry. You could see stuff that I couldn't see. And now my eyes have been opened. If it was that powerful, what's it going to be like when we get to heaven and our eyes are where that God intended them to be? Amen. That's got to be something. I don't know who made double knockout roses, but they're going to heaven for sure. They're just beautiful, beautiful. Never could see makeup before. And makeup is fantastic. And for some, much needed, you know. Guys, I don't know why some of you aren't doing it. But it's what it is. I came out to Moorhead for the purpose several years ago just to put these glasses on and watch the sun come up. And can I tell you, God was just showing off. It was like every 30, 40 seconds, the scheme would change. And I can remember people talking about God being a master artist, but I'd never seen it before. I want to go out west somewhere and watch the sun go down because I heard it can be just as pretty, if not prettier, going down. And then somebody told me if I'm lucky, I can see a green flash. I don't know what that is, but if I'm lucky, I guess I get to see it. I can't wear them at church because pretty dresses, and I look like a creeper, so my wife takes them off of me. But I also got to see a rainbow. That was pretty amazing. I want to talk about that today. When we get to the last part, I'm really going to nerd out with you here, but we're in Genesis chapter number 9 tonight. Genesis chapter number 9. I know everybody's preached sermons on rainbows, and I'm going to take my shot at it. I've not been seeing them long, and I went from being able to see 9 colors to about 23. And from what I heard, there are some average males can see almost 70. Average females can see almost 150. What? There are some interior decorators that can see over 400 different colors. Chartreuse. Who cares? I don't know what that is. Oh, that's not this. That's mahogany. What? I just can't see a lot of things that maybe you can see. And so when I call out the colors of the rainbow, I'm going to call out what I saw. And if you saw it different, well, you ask the preacher if you could do a revival, and you get him to do your sermon on it. Because I'm going to do it the way I saw it. Here we have in Genesis chapter 9, verse number 11. And I will establish a covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of the flood, shall there be any more of the flood to destroy the earth. And God said, let this be a token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of the covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I'll remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud. And I will look upon it, that I remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said to Noah, this is a token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. I do want you to notice something. A covenant is not a contract. Contract's two-sided agreement. A covenant is God saying, I'm going to do this whether you live right or not. I'm going to do this no matter what, and this is my covenant that God's going to make. And so we're looking at the colors of the rainbow, and let me just start out by the way I see them. When I was looking up, the first color I was able to see was purple. That's my wife's favorite color. I can see that now. It's purple. And when that tells us something about the very character of God, it tells us of his kingship. It tells us of his lordship. And I'm still one of those guys that believes if you don't call on the name of the Lord, you're not saved. I don't think he gets to be my best buddy. This is going south quick, right? I didn't hear a thing. I don't get to think I get to call him, hey, dude, sup. I don't think I get to do that. I think if I'm going to accept Jesus, I have to accept his lordship. And I've had people look at me. I don't believe in that lordship salvation. And my Bible tells me in Romans chapter 10, verse number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:9, that if thou should confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart, and God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. When I look up, I see purple, and it's a picture of royalty. He is King of kings, Lord of lords. That's who he is. That's who he is. The Bible tells us that that kingship, every knee should bow, every tongue confess, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. It is a very important not to understand that if I accept Jesus into my life and I allow his grace to come, I accept his position the way he is. And I'm a little careful the way I approach him. I think we've gotten way too flippant in the way we want to approach him. I hear some that try to be brilliant and they just say, Dad, I need to talk to you. I got a little trouble with that. I understand the words they're using, but I also understand they're just trying to be smart. Can I tell you this? When I'm trying to talk to God, I ain't got no sense. I did that on purpose for you English teachers. I'm sorry for the hernia I just caused you or whatever it was. I don't think you're impressing God with your chatter. I think he wants to hear heart speech. I don't think he wants to hear me trying to impress you as I speak about him. He's Lord. I don't have to lodge that up for him. I don't have to scotch it. I don't have to get up and... No, he is Lord, and I'm careful how I approach him. I'm careful about that. So when I look up, that's what I see. And I think if you're going to have a relationship with Jesus, that's the first thing you're going to have to handle, is that when you look up, he is Lord and he has a right to sit at the head of the table. He has a right to sit on the throne and to dictate terms. And so that's what I see. The next one I saw was blue. Blue gives me a picture of some things. Blue gives me a picture of heaven. I don't know what heaven's going to be like. I have no clue. I've read Ezekiel and I've read 40, 41. I've read all that. I've read what talks about in the book of Revelation. I've even read some books about it. I don't have a clue. I'd like to know. A crystal river. I live by the noose. You baptize somebody there, they come up with an extra nostril. A crystal sea? Roads of gold? Man, I'm driving down here watching axles fall off vehicles. I have no concept of golden streets. No concept. I have no concept of walls of jasper. None at all. I have a little concept of pain. And that's going to be gone. If there is no golden street, you get rid of pain, you get rid of heartache, you get rid of sorrow, I'm good. I'm in. A year and a half ago, I got to take care of my mother as she was on the dying part of living. Cancer had taken one kidney. It was now in the other one. It had perforated through her bowels and was going up her spine to where it made a sponge out of the bottom of her spine. She wasn't quite truthful Let me just stop and run a rabbit here. You're not helping your children by lying to them about your health. You let them know what's going on. I want to protect them. They'll see it as a lie later. And that'll hurt them more than the truth. So in her trying to protect me from what was coming, I pick her up and she screams. And all I know is, until after I've buried her, that I have broken her back. And I didn't. But I thought it. I thought I killed my mom. But she just didn't want to tell me the truth of what cancer was doing. The doctor looked at me later and said, oh no, her spine was a sponge. You didn't break it. There's a whole lot of pain. I still have to deal with it. Even though the doctor told me, I still know I broke my mom's back. But can I work through that? Been a year and a half. Hey, if you've got a simple potion for me to take, I'll be glad to take it. The truth is always the best. Even though you may have been taught different, truth is the best. But I'll never hear that scream come out of my mother again when she's in that heavenly city. No more diabetic shots. No more prosthetics. No more walkers. All those things have to stay outside the gate. No more cancer. None of that. It's going to be heaven. Jesus is going to be there. We are free from the presence of sin, from the power of sin, and from the penalty of sin. I want to go, even though I don't know much about it. I just want to be where he is. And that'll sure be like heaven, as they sung about last night. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter number 21, verse number 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And I've had a bait of those too. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. The next color that I was able to see was yellow. Sorry, my wife said it's not yeller, it's yellow. We grew up in the mountains, Yeller. That was the name of the movie about the dog, old Yeller. So hey, just learn how to talk, you'll be all right. What is yellow? What does yellow mean? It's out of sunlight. And we would see it in the Bible. It's a picture of sunlight. And the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So when we see yellow, it lets us know about Jesus Christ and who he is, what he wants to do. It's good news. It's a wonderful thing, and it helps me walk in fellowship one with another. I can walk in fellowship with you because we know who Jesus is. Now, I do have friends that are not necessarily a part of the denomination that we're a part of. The friends that I stick close to are going to get it right about Jesus. We may not get it right on all the eschatology points, or we may not get it all right on things seen in the Old Testament, what should be done, what shouldn't be done. But when it comes to Jesus, if you could tell me, virgin born, he lived, he died, he's God during the process, he died in place of me, virgin born, I'm good, we can have fellowship. That's more than just two people in one boat. That is us being able to commune with Jesus together. One of the things that we're starting to try to practice now is love feasts. The Bible talks about those. It's where we sit down at the supper table together as a church family. And we just have three or four groups get together. And all we talk about is how good Jesus is. And in the middle of all that, somebody's going to start crying because the Lord's been pretty good to them. Somebody else is going to start. And then while we're eating in communion and fellowship, and the Lord starts inhabiting the praise of his people, and that old familiar presence comes in the room, and we can have church right there while eating, which I think will make church better anyhow. Yes. I'm a food guy if you've not seen me. That was yellow. The next is green. What's it talk about? Green. Talks about new life and growth. God just didn't want you to be saved to miss hell. He didn't want to redeem your soul so you could just check off the list, I sat on my pew Sunday. He expects more than that. I think he expects more than that in a hurry. Nobody gives that type of gift where you just go, oh, it's fantastic, and you sit down on it and share it with no one. That's not a gift. It becomes a curse. Becomes that. Well, what is green? It is the growth that the working of the Holy Spirit does inside of the heart and life of a believer as we walk with Him and talk with Him, and He tells us we are His own. We are reading His book and we're talking with Him, and we begin to show real growth. And He helps us do that. Romans 2:7, to Him by patience, continuance in well-doing, seek to glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. We grow inside of Jesus. He wants you to have that. We grow from glory to glory. The Bible says that He gives life and gives it more abundantly. So we got life, which is just a series of ups and downs. But when He gives it abundantly, it's way high and way down. And He's just there with us going through life. It is a wonderful revelation to the mind and heart of a believer when you understand He is with you. You matter to Him, and He wants to be with you. He chooses you. I didn't always get that growing up, but I get it now. He chose me, and for that I'm thankful. The next I see is orange. Orange. What's orange? It's a warning. It's warning everywhere. You see that on the highway and you have colorblind glasses on, you know what's coming before you can even read it. Orange. Don't go this way. Road is out ahead. We get orange everywhere. It is something that warns us to be on the watch out because something is up there that's going to hurt us. I don't think God gives us any of those do nots because He wants to hurt us. I think He knows the pain in it, and He wants to keep you away from it. And that's what He wants to do. But the warnings are out there. He gives us warnings through His scripture. He gives us warning through songs. He gives us warning just through common sense. And sometimes He gives you a warning through an older brother or sister that wants to see you make it. And that's why they warn you, don't walk this path. Don't go that way. Now, I have a little bit of trouble with that, and you do too. Somebody tells you no, you're an American. You just want to do it anyhow. Well, I'll show you I can do it. And you get drug addicts everywhere because they know better than to do it, but they said they're going to do it anyhow. Work at a drug rehab. Some of those you don't get to try and see if you like it or not. You hit it once, and now you're a drug addict. And you got somebody needs to get in your way and say, stay away from all of it. Stay away from all of it. If your friends are wanting you to drink, get new friends. Get away from them because it's going to lead you to more and more drinking. Well, right now, marijuana's all right, preacher. It is the gateway drug. I deal with hundreds of them. They start there and it moves because a drug addict's going to have another drug addict as a friend and say, it's better if you smoke more, lace it with this. It's going to happen. You're going to lose. You're going to lose. I don't want to talk about the legality of it. We know where it's going. There's a warning that's out there. But there's another warning in particular I read in Scripture that we need to watch for. In Acts chapter 20, verse number 29. For I know this, that after my departing, grievous wolves will enter in among you, not sparing the flock. I don't know if you've ever run into any of those or not. I've run into a few. As a pastor, I have to watch out for that. And I block it off rather quick. You need to thank the Lord that you've got a pastor that tries to be kind. I'm not usually very kind. Not when it comes to wolves. I think the best thing for a wolf is to kick at it till it jumps and then start taking shots at it. That's just the best thing. Just lay out traps for him. Bait it with fresh meat. How do I know when I have a wolf in my church? Here's what they'll say. Every time. People have been coming to me. That is a wolf. They work for Satan. Well, that didn't go over well. That didn't go over well at all. Here's my answer. You're going to give me those names, or we're bringing you before the church. Give me the names. Oh, I can never go against their trust. You're a liar. You're a wolf. Get away from my people. And then they're gone. Yeah, You have a shepherd that carries a staff. I know his personality. I like the shotgun. I just like it. Because if I let them go long enough, they're going to tear the throat out of a good person. They're going to get them to do the dirty work. So it's just best to run them off when they say people are coming to me. It doesn't hurt when you shoot Lucifer. Not at all. And let them get a job at Walmart. They'll be all right. Fit right in. They're coming. In these latter days, and some of you that's been here a while have seen it more than I have. Wolves are walking into the church more and more. They've got different doctrines. They've got different practices. They've got different philosophies and ideologies. You need to run them off. Yeah. Nothing any better than a good wolf dog. I mean, one that's had ears tore off. His nose is ripped up. He don't have no tail anymore. Walks with a limp and a permanent snarl because he's had a part of his lip ripped off by wolves. And just to have a couple of them in the church, you know. You call them friendly. You know, that's who they are. Come on, friendly. And he just finding wolves. Them good people. Good people. The next one I see is red. And here's who I'm going to nerd out with you. I've got 20 minutes to nerd out with you. Red in the Bible. I'm glad I'm at a church. I don't have to ask you what red means. You know, it's the blood. You guys sing about the blood way too much. You preach about the blood probably way too much. Your Sunday school teachers handle it way too much. It just, you almost like it, you believe the blood is the way. And I'm good with that. We have a blessed book. We've got the blood and that blessed hope. We're good to go. I like songs that talk about the blood of Jesus. I like sermons about it. I just like all of it. It's just good. But the blood of Jesus, we start thinking about lamb's blood. And we see John even call Jesus out as that. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Blood is an interesting, interesting thing. So I go to Eureka Springs, Arkansas, and I'm watching this guy at this passion play. Before it gets started, I got a potter out there, and he's working. And there wasn't very many people there because I'm a guy that thinking if you're not there 30 minutes early, you're late. Hallelujah. Don't you love them people to walk in 9 minutes late? Oh, sorry. No, you're not sorry. Why don't you get up earlier? Right? Instead of interrupting. I'll come in during the prayer. You mean when we're talking to God, that's when you want to come in? I wait till they read the scripture. You know when the scripture's being read, God's talking. How about be quiet? Right? Yeah, just get here on time. Okay, your coffee pot will start at 5:30. Get that thing cranked up and let it run. Put it in the veins. Do something. Get there on time. It's helpful. It's helpful. Lamb's blood. I go see this potter, and I'm there early. Not many people around. And I said, is this all you do? He said, no, I fix ancient pottery. I was like, what? You put gold in it? He said, I'm not from Japan or China. I was like, oh. So how do you fix it? Here's what he told me. I put blood in it. I'm like, what? You mean you cut your finger and you? And he went, no. Why would I do that? I couldn't feel what I'm doing. What do you do? Cut your dog? And he looked at me like he was a PETA guy. Like I already said something was wrong. I didn't say barbecue the dog. I was talking about getting a little bit of blood. Use it. Preferably a cat, but the dog was there. So I asked him about the dog. And he said, no, we don't do that either. He said, we probably use tick blood. You've seen ticks before. They just swell up real big. You know, you kind of put them here and like a grape, you know, pop them out. That type thing. You put that type blood in it. And then he said, you got to put it back in the kiln. The kiln is a box that they heat this stuff up in. And I was like, okay, so you have a dog. You put tick blood in it, and you put it back in the fire again. And he went, yeah. And I said, what then? He said, well, if it starts singing, we're okay. And I was like, what? This isn't Beauty and the Beast Disney thing. Be our guest. That doesn't happen. I said, what do you mean singing? He said, you'll start hearing pops and cracks and whistles. When that blood is mixing in the crack, but it's getting rid of what moisture's left over. He said, that's why we get the tick. Most of the moisture's pulled out of there. We get more of a pasty type blood than what we would that has too much water in it. So we just use the tick, put it in, and as it's working, if it's singing in the fire, it's getting better. And about then, it started hitting me. There are sometimes the devil has run the route on me. But I have found if I can get away somewhere, use of the woods for me, and start singing to the Lord, even in the middle of my pain, He tends to show up and starts to heal the damage that was in the middle of all that. I remember when my son's cancer came back one time, and we heard on Wednesday night at 5 o'clock that his cancer had come back. They tried 3 weeks to take him off his meds. The cancer came right back. We didn't know if it was going to respond well again as it did the first time. And 2 hours later, I'm in church, and they're starting to sing a song called Great Is Thy Faithfulness. And through tears and through a swollen up throat, I'm trying my best to sing, because if he lived or died, God's still good. He's still God, still in control. And in the middle of singing for him, God showed up. And it tends to take care of some problem. If the devil gets on you, find a place to go sing about him. Or just find somebody that talks good about him. Start talking good about God. He will inhabit the praise of his people. He can heal some stuff up that way. Well, preacher, hurt. I'm not a real good singer. I sing in the shower. I've sung with the Inspirations. I've sung with Steve Green. I've sung with the Cathedrals. In the shower, I sing with anybody. And I just let it go. Going down the road, I talk good about him or I sing to him. If I, as a pastor, can get my people singing in the middle of the pain, I know they're getting better. In the fire, they're still singing. They're getting better. And that was good. But that's not the real nerdy stuff. The real nerdy stuff I want to share with you is copperheads, rattlesnakes, if they bite you, it's supposed to be a bad thing. And they have something called anti-venom that they're going to give you. Well, that's very cool. It used to be that they would inject a horse with the venom, pull out the antibodies, so you have anti-venom, and they used to use rabbits. It was always fatal to the rabbit, but it was sometimes crippling to the horse. And then finally a bunch of tree huggers said, you know, this little thumper here worth more than you are, so you got to quit doing this. And so we quit injecting horses and rabbits, and they decided to make it synthetically. And they worked through about an 8-year period through the late 70s and the 80s trying to make it synthetically. And here's what they found. It don't work. So they had to find something different. Now, you get ahead of me, don't you shout till I get there. They had to find an animal that had no bacteria in its blood at birth. Matter of fact, they found out if there was no scratch on it or no bruise, it would live for about 8, 9, 10 months, no bacteria in its blood at all. So they would inject the animal with the venom, but the venom had nothing to fight against. So it's making all kind of antibodies, and it's still feeling fine. It suffered no effect, no ill effect from the shot. It's a perfect fighting machine. And what they found was, it's a lamb. If it has no spot or blemish, it's perfect. And thus they can keep, as long as that lamb can hold on to his own existence, he's a perfect fighting machine for venom. Oh, death, where is your sting? That's the word for denim, venom. The word for sting there, we needed a lamb that was able to be infused with the sin of man, suffer no ill effect from it, and as long as Jesus now can maintain his own existence, he's a perfect fighting machine for our sin. Jesus is what inoculates us. Hallelujah for that. That was cool. That was cool to me. Matter of fact, they grow, well, not like you would corn, but they manage this herd in Brazil. And that's how they take care of venom. But they have another field they use in Australia for something different. This is the Oxford Corporation out of England. The ones that they have in Australia are used for something different. The ones in Australia, they have found that protein-based fire extinguishing equipment works the best. It puts out almost everything. And that protein-based is blood. And the best one that they can use now is lamb's blood. They take those and now they don't just use it to put out fires. They could put that gel on a stuntman, light him on fire, and here's what they tell him. The flames will not touch you, but you'll have to put up with the heat. when I am in with Jesus and I've got to go into some nasty places to try to get some people out and try to win them, he just covers me over with his blood. I can walk in there, might have put up with some heat, but the flames will not touch me. I've been saved. I've been kept by the blood of Jesus Christ. So I'm okay when I have to get in the fire. Oxo Incorporation, you can look that up. But they also have another group. And the other group that they have also in Brazil of lambs, they found this out. It is the only animal that in a field situation can give you blood and you not die. It's all about this lamb thing. No wonder John called him the Lamb of God. Takes away the sin of the world. Left butchered and on the side of the road to die. Jesus Christ infused me with some of his own blood. And it didn't kill me. It brought me back to life. It allowed me to be healed. And I'm able to move in strength. All because Jesus is the Lamb of God. That was cool to me. Thank you for letting me nerd out with you. But I have found out something about blood. Boy, it stains something terrible. I remember doing a revival down in Rockingham, North Carolina. And I was out trying to help out at a church, and I was fixing one of their problems. And didn't realize I'd cut myself. And when I put my shirt on that night, I got blood stain on my collar. And try to keep somebody thinking I was Jesus, I went and changed out my shirt. And I took it to the cleaner who goes to that church. And they said, we'll get it. 2 days later, I go to pick up my shirt, and there was a tag on it. We are sorry. We have tried our best to get this color out of your shirt. It wasn't color, it was blood. But it seems to have grabbed hold of the fiber, and we can't get rid of it. We are sorry for the inconvenience. Well, stinks to be me. I wear 2 bale of cotton worth of shirts. And it costs a little bit of money. I started looking at products. I always do the laundry at the house. Ever since we started having kids, I just don't think it's fair for Lynn and I both to work and her have to do all the laundry and do all the work around the house. I think a man ought to pitch in and help take care of the household. Yeah, I do all the laundry. I do all of it. Now, if you've got something that's pretty colored and I don't have these on, they better go in the right hamper. Better go in the right hamper. I do them all. I do most of the cooking. And my wife never complains when she comes home and supper's already done. Never does. In this process, I've had to learn how to try to get out some stains. And I bought a product on the outside of it. It says Stain Lifter. And I thought that was pretty interesting. When I started doing a research out of Revelation 1:5, here's what I read. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the king of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us with his own blood. I found out the word washed was actually a Latin word, and here's the word, it was leeching. Well, that means stain lifter. I was like, well, that's cool. I'm calling the company. Because they got a patent on that word. So I ended up calling the company. They were, at that time, the division I got a hold of was in London, Ohio. I'm not sure where that's at, but that's just where I got it. It's supposed to be somewhere north of Cincinnati. So I call up there and I said, the lady answers the phone off the first and she said, how can I help you? I said, you have put a patent on the word stain lifter and I want to know why you call it the stain lifter. And she says, I have no clue. I'm going to have to move you to the patent office. And then I listened to elevator music. That was terrible. But I listened to it for a while. And then finally somebody picked up and they said, how can we help you? I said, you got a patent on the word stain lifter, it's the word leachy, and you've got it for a product. I want to know what that product does. And they said, well, that's not what we do. We just get the patent for the word. You need to talk to our chemistry department. And they put me back onto the elevator music again. And about 20 minutes later, Urkel answers the phone. That's not really Urkel, but here's what he says. Hello? And I was like, hello, this is Pastor Jason. I've never had anybody ever call me, ever. And I was like, it's okay. I'm not going to hurt you. I just need some information. Well, I'll try my best to get it. I said, well, you have got a patent on the word lychee. Oh, you need to talk to the patent department. Don't hang up! I've already talked to them. They said, I need to talk to you. I want to know why you call it the stain lifter. And I said, what do you do? Do you put it in there and it obliterates the stain? He goes, you can't obliterate matter, sir. You can rearrange matter. You can move matter. You can change where it's at, but you can't obliterate matter. And I was like, please stop. Because he's just going in 15, 20 minutes telling me what you can't do with matter. I said, why do you call it that? He said, all we've done is we have taught our product how to get between the fiber and the stain in the agitation process. And then when the water hits it, it lifts it away from the fiber. October 25th, 1987, that's what happened to me. God got between me and my sin. And when the Lord ended up showing up, it just pushed. And the old nature died off. And my sin disappeared. And it was gone. I was clean. And that was fantastic. I went out teaching this everywhere I could. It's fantastic. And then I ran up on this singer lady called Barbara Spencer. And she said, I got an answer for you, which would have been easier. It's called bleach. Well, la-di-da, where were you 10 years ago? So I call Urkel back. Urkel? I didn't call him back. I said, sir, I need to ask you something. He said, nobody ever calls me. You're like the second person that's ever called me. And I said, I was the first one, too. So what would you like to know? I said, you told me that your product lifted stains away from the fiber. But bleach would do the same thing. And he went, no, sir, you've been lied to. Bleach will cover it. But not only does it cover it, it will yellow your white and it'll make it brittle. It's a slow destroy. It's not as good as our product. Now I'm colorblind. I don't know if that happens or not. He just told me my shirts will start to get yellow and brittle with bleach. I'm not calling Urkel back if I can help it ever again. There's a lot of false people out there wanting to tell you how to get right with God, but it's a fake. You need the one that gets in between who you really are and your sin. And when the washing of the blood of Jesus hits, he can lift it away with his own blood. I don't understand all of that. Even theologically, I don't understand all that. But I live in the blessing of it. I no longer have a taskmaster. I've been set free. The dominion power of Lucifer has been released from me because I came and got underneath that crimson flow, and all hit underneath that flow lose all their guilty stains. We used to sing that song. I don't know if we still do. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. He's the Lamb of God, and he's able to inoculate me and cleanse me up from my sin. When I look up, I see purple. But when he looks down, he sees red. And I'm free because of that. I'm free because of that. Let's stand to our feet and let's get ready to pray. It may be that you're here tonight, you're not a Christian, but you want to be. You told the Lord, or you were standing over a casket and you said, I promise you I'll get right with God. Well, tonight would be a great night to do that.